Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Welcome to another edition of Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today we are broadcasting live from the legislative hearing on two concealed carry gun bills that are pending before the State Assembly and State Senate, a hearing that is taking place just outside our Wisconsin Public Radio studios here at the Center for Civic Engagement on the UW Marathon County campus in Wausau. The hearing before the Senate's Judiciary, Utilities, Commerce, and Government Operations Committee started at noon today, and it's scheduled to continue until 6. We've had a large group of people all day testifying on both sides of this emotional issue, and among those sitting on the panel, Senator Pam Galloway of Wausau, who along with fellow Republican Assemblyman Jeff Mersaw of Crivitz are the sponsors of the concealed carry legislation. Our guest today, a supporter of the so-called constitutional carry version of that law, which would not require special permits or training for concealed carry. He is F.E. Buster Bachhuber of Wausau, a board member of the National Rifle Association, and joining him, Democratic Assemblywoman Donna Seidel of Wausau, who has some reservations about the concealed carry legislation. Now, our lines are open for your questions and comments. If you've got any questions about gun rights or gun control or exactly what's involved with this, these two particular bills, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. And Buster and Donna, thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, glad to be with you.
A nice crowd out there today testifying all day long.
Good afternoon, Glenn. Happy to be here.
And before we get started with the with the questions and get into the meat of the show, I'm going to play an interview I had with Senator Galloway earlier today before the hearing started. I asked her exactly what was in and what was not in these two bills that are pending before the state legislature.
And the main difference between the bills is that one is a permit bill and the other is a non-permit bill. So that's really the biggest difference. So one of the bills will require a person to apply to the Department of Justice to obtain a permit to carry a concealed weapon. And the other bill is a so-called constitutional carry or Vermont-style carry, which is where you can carry a concealed weapon unless there's some reason that you can't, such as being a felon, having a misdemeanor domestic violence conviction, or having a restraining order against you. So that's really the main difference between those two bills.
How do they uncover those things if you don't apply for a permit?
Well, they don't. So it's really sort of a trusting type of system, and it actually is a trend nationally towards the constitutional carry because they found that with these permitting systems that there's really a very low revocation rate in the states that have them, which is we're only one of two states that don't have some sort of concealed carry.
Which of those two positions do you advocate?
Well, I'd really like to get through today's hearing and see what people's leanings are. I'm trending, obviously, towards the constitutional carry because I sponsored it. And so I really think that we do have a constitutional right to keep and bear arms, and that when we start applying permits and training mandates, that it really is putting restrictions on something that's a right rather than a privilege.
Would there be any restrictions on where you could conceal carry, for instance, in schools,
yes,
in daycare centers, in bars? What would the restrictions be?
Well, schools, courthouses, sheriff's offices, police offices, and things like that are restricted. But in contrast to the bill that was passed by the legislature in the mid-2000s, which was vetoed by Governor Doyle, we don't have a lot of carve-outs as far as where you can and cannot carry, other than those few that I just mentioned.
And how do you respond to critics who say you're rushing this through right now, your priorities are misplaced, you ought to be focusing on jobs and the budget deficit and other things instead of trying to push through at this point in time?
Well, believe me, for the constituents that I have, it couldn't happen soon enough, and they wish that it had happened yesterday.
Do you think this is going to help you politically with sportsmen in your district by being the sponsor of this legislation?
Yes, I think it will. I think that clearly this is what the majority of people in the district desire, and like I said, for them it couldn't happen soon enough. So definitely.
That's Senator Pam Galloway, Republican of Wausau, in an interview recorded just a few hours ago before she started sitting in on the legislative hearing that's going on right now on the concealed carry legislation that she's sponsoring, a hearing that's going on until 6 o'clock here at the Center for Civic Engagement. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to weigh in on gun control, gun rights, and concealed carry, our lines are wide open right now. You can get right in if you've got a question or comment at 1-800-780-9742. Donna Seidel, I'll ask you to respond to those comments from your colleague in the State Senate.
Well, thank you, Glenn. Also want to say that it's good to be here with my old friend Buster Bach-Huber. He and I have had the occasion to have a similar conversation and debate in years past, so I've been looking forward to this. Well, it's clear that there is divided opinion about this. My own position has been clearly known for many years, and that is I don't believe our communities are safer by more people carrying loaded weapons on the streets and throughout all kinds of public places in our communities. However, we're at a different time. With the makeup of our legislature and the current administration, it is very likely that a concealed carry bill is going to pass. So it is now the legislative responsibility to make sure that what passes is, in fact, in the best interest of Wisconsin, meets the needs of our constituents, and also does not put the safety of our families and individuals and communities at risk.
Donna, you're a former cop, a former law enforcement officer in Wausau. How does that affect your judgment on this issue?
Well, I think it affects it quite a lot. And one of the things that it does is encourages me to rely on, I think, the good sense, the training, and the perspective of trained officers and career law enforcement professionals and administrators throughout the state who have expressed a number of concerns with this bill that I'm sure we're going to have a lot of opportunity tonight to go into in detail.
Buster Bach-Huber, react to the comments from Senator Galloway and the legislation that she's sponsoring.
No, I agree with Senator Galloway that the time has come. I've been involved with this for, well, it seems like 87 years, but it probably only has been about 20. So as far as rushing things are along, well, I don't know. I used to think not in my lifetime. Now if we can last out for another month or so, maybe we'll be all right. The problem we've really had up to this point, I think expressed even today, is a lot of people in Madison to date haven't trusted the people to do the right thing. We need this great guiding light from Madison to tell us how to be responsible. I disagree with that.
But aren't they just trying to address public safety concerns? Concerns that, sure you can trust 95, maybe 98, 99% of the people, but that 1% can do a lot of damage.
Well, of course they can, and they are today. So what is the difference whether we allow good people to carry guns or not? Currently, the felon, the person convicted of domestic abuse, the mentally deficient who's been adjudicated as such, is not even allowed to possess a gun, much less carry it. So we're not changing anything as to who can carry this gun. The criminal already is, and now it's my turn.
Well, I think what I've heard from many people who have begun to weigh in on this is the fact that, particularly on the bill sponsored by Senator Galloway, it would allow almost anyone in the state over 21 to carry a loaded weapon almost anywhere in the state. And the idea that someone who may not be qualified, who may not be careful, who may not be trustworthy, carrying a loaded weapon into a domestic abuse shelter, into a mental health facility, into a daycare center, into a bar or restaurant in our communities is something that is alarming to many people across the state. So I am hopeful that we take our time, have a very thoughtful discussion of what is at stake here, and then look at legislation that addresses those concerns.
Now, one of the comments that Senator Galloway made is that unlike the bill that was vetoed by Governor Doyle a few years ago, this one does not carve out a lot of exceptions. Buster, how do you respond to Donna's concern that there ought to be more exceptions as to where you can carry a gun and where you can't carry a gun?
Well, exceptions as who now? This criminal guy we're talking about or me? Because
there's anyone.
Anyone. All right. There's nothing, absolutely nothing today that would prevent me if I were so inclined from going into a nursing home and shooting grandma. Now, whether I have a permit, don't have a permit, whether I'm malcontent or not, we have nothing that will physically restrain anybody in advance of committing a criminal act. And this legislation doesn't address that at all, either way. So the fear that just because this bill passes, all of a sudden domestic abuse shelters and nursing homes and hospitals and everybody all going to get shot up, that's ludicrous, or it would be happening today.
Well, my response is that I'm going to rely on people who are in the trenches in these places. Last week, I talked to a group of hospital administrators and volunteers from around the state. Their number one concern was not healthcare related. It was, if concealed carry passes, please do not allow people to carry their loaded weapons into our hospitals. We just got a piece of correspondence from the Catholic Association of Catholic Churches saying, this is something we are extremely concerned about. We do not want people with loaded guns coming into our places of worship, and we profoundly request that you carve this out.
Did they indicate to you, Donna, why?
Well, for the reasons that they are concerned about the safety of their parishioners and anyone else who could come in harm's way if somebody with a loaded gun is not properly trained, is not careful, cautious, and trustworthy.
Sure. Now, do they have metal detectors at your church that are going to sort you out? I mean, if I carry to church next Sunday under my coat, who's going to know? We're talking about concealed carry, and in most instances here, open carry is legal. And if, in fact, I wanted to shoot someone in that church, I'm afraid I don't need a state law to permit me to do it.
I want to play a short clip of some of the testimony that took place at the hearing that's going on right now on this very issue here at the Center for Civic Engagement. Dominique Ferraro is the police chief of Endeavor, which is a small community near Westfield in Wisconsin. He's also the owner of a private security and firearm training company in the Westfield area. And Buster, he was echoing your point of view on this issue, and he got into it a little bit with Senator Fred Risser of Madison.
We all hear in the news that police officers and law enforcement in general are against concealed carry in Wisconsin. I don't speak for everybody, but I haven't seen that to be the case. Now, I'm talking about street cops, right? I mean, street cops on the street support concealed carry because they know the bad guys are going to carry no matter what.
How do you keep concealed weapons out of the hands of mentally incompetent people then?
How do you keep it out of their hands now?
As I said at the beginning, please, no.
I don't mean any disrespect. I'm serious. Now we have a pretty good law, the way I like it.
The way it is now, Senator, bad guys or mentally incompetent people, if they want to cause harm, whether they do it with a gun, a vehicle, a baseball bat, a knife, or a bomb, they're going to be able to do it. And I think that for the minority of people out there that we're talking about, we shouldn't punish the rest of the good law-abiding citizens of the state from exercising their constitutional rights.
And Donna, those comments from the police chief of Endeavor pretty much echo what Buster Bachhuber was saying.
Well, I agree. They certainly do. I really wonder if it's accurate that all of the street cops in the state of Wisconsin are strongly supporting concealed carry, because many street cops that I have talked to don't share that opinion.
Well, you used to be a street cop. Would you be supporting
and
it?
And I certainly don't support that. Yeah. As I said, many of the officers that I know, work with, and talk to do not. I think the concern is that what we're talking about is an increased number of loaded guns on our street throughout our communities. And with increased number of guns, we have a number of concerns about increased numbers of potential misuses of that by people who ought not being able to carry.
Yeah, but what you're saying, Don, is if I carry a gun, I'm a bad guy. If I don't carry a gun, I'm a good guy. I'm sorry, I don't buy into that.
No, I didn't say that, Buster.
Well, you're saying if there's more guns out there, we're going to have more bad people. I'm saying no, the same good people do not become bad people just because they have a gun.
I think many people that are looking at this legislation would like to ensure a feeling of security by saying, let's have a reasonable permitting process, and let's make sure that there is some level of training that's been guaranteed. So
we had that opportunity a few years back. How did you vote?
I have always voted against this bill, but as I said, Buster, this is a different day. We are aware that because of the makeup of our legislature, because of the majority control by Republicans, because of the administration, a bill is most likely to pass. Therefore, because it is going to pass, I would like to see the best product in the best interest of the communities I represent be what makes it through this legislative body. And I think that ought to include some amount of training that people have been guaranteed to have gone through.
Donna Seidel and Buster Bockhuber talking about concealed carry legislation, which is being debated right now, right here at the Center for Civic Engagement in Wausau, Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. If you'd like to weigh in on gun control and gun rights, here's our number, 1-800-780-9742. We'll be back with your questions and comments after this.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio, and we are coming to you live from the public hearing on the bills before the state legislature that would legalize concealed carry in the state of Wisconsin. We're going to be taking your phone calls at 1-800-780-9742. Here is someone who spoke at the hearing in opposition to these bills. His name is John Spiegelhoff of Merrill.
The Council on Children and Families, the National Association of Social Workers, the Wisconsin Catholic Conference, and the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, which is the largest labor organization representing police in the state, have come out against conceal and carry. And I'm not going to go into the pros and cons of conceal and carry versus our laws. I mean, that's been, it's clear you can openly carry a firearm in Wisconsin right now. But I think the issue is greater than that. And the question to ask is, when did we become a society of fear and making decisions based upon fear? The fear of the unknown, the fear of the unidentifiable, the boogeyman that lurks behind the corner that's going to harm us. And you know what? I would submit to you that if you look at the empirical evidence of violent crime as a whole, does not warrant this legislation.
Buster Bockhuber, when did we start becoming a society based on fear, and are your attitudes and your priorities fueling that?
No, I don't think so, because I didn't get a chance to ask the gentleman if he freaks out when he sees a snake or a mouse or a spider either. But, yeah, we're governed by fear in our life. Of course we are. We have a fire extinguisher because we're afraid of fire. We have a seatbelt because we're afraid of a car wreck. But that doesn't mean that we have to raise this to a level of some neurosis or worse, type of a thing. I've never gotten my palms sweaty when I saw somebody holding a fire extinguisher. So I think that, and yet this great impassioned speech about fear sure sounded to me like he was coming from the corner of fear. So it might have been just a tad bit of hypocrisy on his part. I don't know.
Well, Buster, you and I haven't agreed on this issue, and I don't think that's going to change much now. But you said you don't become afraid if you see somebody with a fire extinguisher. Well, neither do I, but fire extinguishers don't kill people.
Oh, they can.
And so it's a different issue. I think one of the issues that this John Spiegelhoff was raising had to do with statistics and data, and I think we can get lost in the weeds on all of that. But one of the things that I have found, what goes back to training and why I am such a strong proponent of how important that is. I found a research that goes back to 1966, before hunter safety became formalized. And in that year, they were they found that there were about 44 shootings per 100,000 hunters in Wisconsin. Today, since hunter safety has been formalized, since young hunters go through 10 hours of formalized hunting, a hunter safety training, those number of shootings per 100,000 hunters in Wisconsin has been reduced to fewer than two. That is significant. Yeah. That is persuasive.
I question the 44 because you're talking about a couple hundred shootings a season, and that never happened. And also keep in mind...
Hunters, that was. I said 100,000 hunters.
Right. So 400,000 hunters in those days were bumping that up to a couple hundred shootings, and no, ma'am, that never happened. But let's also keep in mind that at that time there was no gun training. And maybe the biggest influence in my experience in the woods, the biggest influence in safety and hunting was the adoption of blaze orange. I started out wearing the black and red plaid, which turned invisible at 40 yards in the swamp. Now, blaze orange had a whole lot to do with our safety record in hunting.
Well, then I would have an amendment that I would hope would be accepted, and that is that anyone who is carrying concealed would wear blaze orange.
Not unless I get to beat a drum on the assembly floor. You brought it up, ma'am.
Comment, obviously, about the collective bargaining impasse that generated some heated debate down in Madison. And Buster, that is not the topic today.
Nope, neither is me wearing blaze orange when I have a concealed carry permit. So we'll move on from blaze orange into a better topic.
We want to hear from you. What do you think about the concealed carry bills that are pending before the state legislature? If you could carry a gun and carry it concealed, would it make you feel safer? Would it make you feel safer if there were other people that you'd run into, law-abiding citizens who are carrying guns in public places, in supermarkets, on the street, in places of business, maybe even in places of worship, carrying guns and you couldn't see it? How would you feel about that? This is your chance to weigh in, 1-800-780-9742. We'll be taking your phone calls right after this short break for news. Jim in Rothschild, hang on. You've been waiting patiently. We'll get to your phone call right after this short news break. I'm Glenn Moberg with Buster Bachhuber of the NRA and Donna Seidel, Democratic Assemblywoman from Wausau. We'll be back with more right after this news. We're back on Route 51, Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. I'm Glenn Moberg, and we are broadcasting live today from a legislative hearing on concealed carry legislation pending before the State Assembly and the State Senate. The hearing is taking place here in Wausau, right across the hall from our Wisconsin Public Radio studios at the Center for Civic Engagement Theater. My guest, Buster Bachhuber of the National Rifle Association and Democratic Assemblywoman Donna Seidel of Wausau. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-780-9742. And let's go right to the phones. We've got Jim in Rothschild. And is this Jim Moss?
It is.
Jim Moss, who's...
you're figuring it out again.
Well, when I see Jim in Rothschild and the issue is gun control, I figure one of the leaders of the Libertarian Party is going to weigh in on the issue. So, Jim, what do you have to say today?
Well, this issue isn't in a vacuum, but in 1998, the voters of Wisconsin approved a constitutional amendment that would allow the people, that's all of us, to keep and bear arms, that means carry them, for any lawful purpose. And so any legislation which is on the books or is introduced has to comply with that. And state assemblymen and state senators take an oath of office that they support the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin. So I think that's primary. It seems to me it's going to be hard to come up with some constitutional ways to exclude people from having this right, and which is okay with me, because if If I have the right and they have the right, I feel fine with that.
Donna, Jim Moss ran against you for state assembly here in Wausau.
Nice hearing from you.
Well, how about the constitutional argument there? I mean, it's in the Constitution, the state Constitution and the federal Constitution. It doesn't say anything about where you can keep or bear arms or whether or not they have to be covered or outside of clothing. What about the constitutional argument, Donna?
Well, people have the right to use weapons in hunting. People have the right to have weapons in their home to protect home and family. People have the right to openly carry. And as the conversation began today, we're talking about the reality that it is most likely that Wisconsin will, in fact, pass a concealed carry bill. The question that we have is, how do we want that concealed carry to look in Wisconsin? Do we want it to be the most radical arrangement in the United States where anyone anywhere with no training and very questionable characteristics be able to carry, or should we be given some assurance that we are going to guarantee public safety when we enact this law?
Buster?
Well, not the most radical in the country. There's four states right now that permit unpermitted concealed carry, allow, I should say, not to mix up the permitted business. So I don't see that this is the radical extreme type of a deal. And I guess I have to question Representative Donna Seidel. We don't want people of questionable character or something. I don't know who that is. I'm outside of Madison and I don't look around and see many of those in this department. But, who's gonna draw that line in the sand? I know between the two of us, Donald, half would say you're wacky and half would say I'm wacky. So where do we go with that one?
Don, of course, is a former police officer, but the police chief of Wausau, Jeff Hardell, testified today, and he said he could support concealed carry, but he wanted some restrictions on it. Let's listen to his comments.
The state should require a permit system for carrying concealed weapon. Most states require training, a permit system, and prohibit gun carrying in sensitive places. Restrictions for these permits should be implemented to help ensure community safety. Criteria should exist for permit holders in order to reach a safety threshold that would help reduce permits approved for unsafe individuals. Criteria that I think should be considered would be mental health stability. A criminal history check should eliminate permit approval for certain reasons, such as obviously felony convictions, a violent history, past weapons violations, domestic abuse convictions, sexual assault convictions, stalking, aggravated assaults. We also believe that training is vital. Law enforcement is very aware how important training is.
That's Jeff Hardell saying he would support concealed carry, but he wants permits to be part of the process, and he wants training. Buster Bachhuber, what's wrong with that?
I really don't have a real heavy duty with either one, but the chief tends to equate the training that a private individual would have versus police training. Now let's keep in mind that he and I are trained for two different purposes. If I am a concealed carry permittee in the state of Wisconsin, I'm not being radioed to go down a dark alley and snake out an armed robber. My duty is to me to protect my safety. I don't have to join forces, form up a posse and go hunt down the bank robber. And that, is the police's duty to do. So there's a little bit of apple and oranges when you go on with training. Now, yes, you will have some people with any amount of training that you give them are not going to be competent. You will have people with no training that will be highly competent. That's the mindset of the responsible individual. And I feel that the vast majority of the citizens in Wisconsin are responsible individuals who are not going to get it over their head. But be as it may, if I never owned a gun before in my life, I went into the gun store, I purchased one, they had to show me how to load it, and I put it in a holster and wandered out off on my own. If I didn't hurt you or Donna, what's the problem? Now, Glenn, if you came at me with a great big butcher knife and I fumbled it all over the place and I couldn't figure out how to pull the trigger and you managed to stab me, that's my responsibility for not being trained. and, of course, your responsibility for using a long-handled butcher knife.
We'll try to make sure that it doesn't come to that, Buster.
Yeah, let's not, because I'm not that I'm not that incompetent or fumble-fingered, so I'll tell you
now. I know you're not. Donna?
Well, a number of things that Chief Hardell said I certainly agree with, and which is why I support this requirement for permitting and training. But Buster asked, who wouldn't you want to have a loaded weapon? I'll give you one example, and that is an individual convicted of domestic abuse. I've worked with domestic abuse victims,
absolutely.
I can tell you that these victims would be terrified to know that the person who was convicted of domestic abuse against them would have the opportunity to carry a weapon would be frightening. Also, Senator Galloway in her opening comments said that convicted felons, dangerous criminals ought not be able to carry, and they should simply self-report. We should trust them to self-report. I think that is putting a lot of trust in an area that is certainly just not very reasonable. Yeah. And I think, wasn't it President Reagan who said,
trust but verify.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. Dave in Eagle River. Dave, you're on Route 51.
Yes. I just have a couple of questions. Like, as far as Donna's talking about the training and all this, and what about, like, military people that have been through extensive training with arms now? Are they going to have to go through a course also after, you know, they've been in, say, for 4-plus years? Would military people have to go through that? And as far as the trust aspect of everything, trusting, who can you actually trust? Can you trust all the police officers that are out there? My comment would be no. You can't even trust them with not all of them. With all the training that they've had, I mean, look at what happened in Crandon, Wisconsin, for God's sakes. So just because you have training doesn't mean you're necessarily going to be safe.
All right, Dave, thanks so much for the phone call. Well, and Donna, your response.
Well, I think that you raise a really good point, Dave, and that is people who have had extensive training and clearly can demonstrate the ability to handle a gun competently. I think that the bill could specify exceptions to requirements of training. But right now, we have situations where retired law enforcement officers not only have had extensive training, they're required to have annual ongoing training and then may only carry the weapon that they have used in that training. So there are all kinds of opportunities we could have to fashion a very responsible bill and do the right thing, such as, you know, issues that you've brought up that make a great deal of sense.
Back to the phone calls. Let's go to Jim in Ironwood. Jim, you're on Route 51.
Yeah, thank you. Just a couple comments directed mainly to Donna. Permitting has nothing to do with my constitutional right to bear arms. Now, I'm 67 years old, and I may never carry a concealed weapon, but I want the right to be able to do so as a law-abiding citizen. Permitting just puts a number on my, just like my Social Security number, that I now have the right to carry a concealed weapon. If you want to legislate something, pass law that will disallow people who are a threat to society from carrying a gun, make it illegal. That's no different than it is now, but don't make it illegal for me if I don't have a permit. That's my comment. I'll listen off the air.
All right, Jim, thanks so much for the call.
Now, I'd like to correct one thing here, Donna, that you mentioned people convicted of domestic violence should not be able to carry a gun. Let me tell you, under federal law, it's a federal felony to even for that person to even possess a gun, much less carry it. So let's not mix things up here a little bit. That's a federal crime for a person convicted of domestic violence to possess a firearm.
Let me go back to the phones because as soon as we get rid of somebody, somebody else comes on. We'll go to Dan in Columbia County. Dan, you're on Route 51.
Hey, good day, everybody. How are you?
We're doing well. Thanks, Dan, for calling.
Good. Thank you. It was brought up earlier about the hunter safety, and I had to go through hunter safety to hunt out of state. And, of course, I took my son through hunter safety also when he wanted to hunt. It's a requirement of Wisconsin law. I'm a member of the NRA, and I have no issue at all with someone being competently trained and having a permit to conceal carry. And, you know, get these people into some training so they know how to handle a firearm, and then I have no issue, and I'll take your comments off the air.
All right, Dan, thanks so much for the phone call. Buster, let's throw that one to you.
Well, what is this training? We keep talking about this training. Now, are we talking about training at the level of a Navy SEAL, or are we talking about minimal gun handling safety, or where in between? Maybe, Donna, you could help me. What is this training? Would you outline it for me? How many hours? And how many dollars? Because remember, us elderly have not gotten a raise in our Social Security check for 3 years. So let's not, what am I? I'm part of the most vulnerable in society. I'm old. And the other people are poor. No, they're not poor. They're economically disadvantaged. They can't afford a $200, $500 training fee to protect themselves.
Donna, what kind of training would you recommend?
What I would like is an opportunity for us to have that discussion and have people that have insight and expertise in the area to weigh in on it. We know that our neighboring states go anywhere from multiple hours. Michigan requires 8 hours. Minnesota, mm-hmm. just four. Mm-hmm. Iowa says an applicant must have any kind of NRA or other handgun training. Yep. So there are a myriad number of examples that Wisconsin could choose from. But I think people will have a degree of security and assurance if there is that provision, that there is some reasonable level of training.
Donna Seidel, a Democratic Assemblywoman from Wausau, and Buster Bachhuber of the National Rifle Association. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio, where we are broadcasting live from a legislative hearing that's just wrapping up on the subject of concealed carry here at the Center for Civic Engagement at UW-Marathon County. Back with more after this.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy, Stevens Point, proud to partner with Focus on Energy in converting the sun's energy into green electricity with photovoltaic systems for business and agriculture. Learn more at northwindre.com.
I want to go back to one of the comments from the legislative hearing on the subject of concealed carry that's been going on all day today here at the Center for Civic Engagement. Stuart Watson, who is the CEO of Ministry Medical Group, Ministry Healthcare, St. Clair's Hospital in Weston.
There are a number of reasons why concealed carry should not be allowed in a healthcare facility, but today I'm focusing on three. Number one is to restrict access. A healthcare facility such as a hospital usually has multiple public access points. If visitors were allowed concealed carry, we would need to restrict access by closing access points and installing equipment and personnel at a specific access point. Number two is the expense. Securing access points with magnometers, security screeners, and added personnel would add a significant expense to healthcare, which ultimately gets passed along to the patient. And the third reason is potential danger. In rural health care, we serve all, ranging from small children to elderly, from traumatic injuries to palliative care, end of life, and behavioral health decisions. In health care decisions, particularly those that are emotionally charged, such as an emergency or end of life decision and situation, human emotions can escalate quickly and can pose a risk to our patients and to our providers. This is something we experience every day in our hospitals, even without the presence of concealed firearms. Adding firearms to these emotionally volatile situations in a healthcare situation would be extremely dangerous.
Donna, you first, then Buster.
Well, it's the point that I have made myself many times, and I support his concerns. The last thing we want to do, and Buster, I assume that you would agree with this, the last thing that we would like to see as a byproduct of this would be increased health care costs as a result of implementation and the demands it would put on healthcare providers who had concerns and would want to restrict access and deal with what they had to do to.
Yeah, I think healthcare is a neutral issue, Donna, because to go back to my analogy of Glenn carved me up, I got a medical bill. So that works both ways. What wasn't picked up on the doctor's interview there, Glenn, that I think is a legitimate concern that a hospital would have, and that is the presence of very flammable and explosive gases and materials that are used, the oxygens and the anesthetics and those things.
Right, those were part of his comments.
Yeah, they were. And I think to that extent the doctor has legitimate concern. But again, to get back to the fact that today, if I want to shoot Grandma in the hospital at end of life, I don't know what is stopping me. There's nothing in this bill that's going to change it.
What about the argument that, maybe we shouldn't allow this in taverns where people are drinking and they have too much to drink and they get into a fight, they get into an argument. Maybe they get into a fist fight right now. Well, a fist fight is probably not going to send somebody to the hospital. But you might have to call a hearse if you've got a lot of concealed weapons.
Of course, but if they get into a fist fight, it's probably better than getting into a car after they're in the tavern. I mean, let's zero in on the car. Taverns maybe create situation. People drink too much. Now, whether they're getting into a car or they're carrying a gun, either way, it is not a good scene. And I personally would never carry a firearm into a tavern, but I don't know some other responsible person would not have that same problem.
Let's go back to the phones. We've got Rick in Mercer. Rick, you're on Route 51.
Thank you. I'd like to relate an incident that happened recently in another state, actually in Albuquerque, New Mexico, in which they're having a problem now that they have more than a disordinate amount of police shootings, and they're wondering what the cause of that is. Recently, though, two police officers went to serve a warrant on a person who was mentally unstable, had a record of that. They could, should, or would have known about that. But they sent two officers to the scene. The person actually disarmed one of the officers and was shot dead by the other officer. And I'd just like to throw that out there that it doesn't matter the amount of training you have or the number that you have, two on one, whatever the situation is. If you're going to have a bizarre situation happen, it's going to happen. The same thing with the incident in Texas with the Giffords. There were armed personnel Arizona. Within a short radius of where that happened, but it still happened. So I'd like to comment.
Rick, are you in favor of concealed carry or opposed to it?
I'm playing devil's advocate here.
All right. You're welcome to do it.
When I see someone with a weapon, I go into a different defense mode. I find it necessary that I need to carry a weapon. I put my weapon on lock and cock, and I watch this person because I don't know why they would, in a social situation, have to carry a firearm. What would be their purpose?
All right. We're running out of time here, so I'd like some quick responses from both of you.
Well, I think the concern is that with a concealed carry bill in Wisconsin, it is clearly expected that the numbers of loaded guns being carried in our communities will increase. We want to be careful that there are not people that will put themselves and others in dangerous positions because of that. And I think as legislators, we have a responsibility to be very careful and cautious when we enact public policy so that, among everything else, we keep a priority of making our community safe places to live.
Buster, very quickly.
I think I have a little more of a trust for the citizens of Wisconsin. We're one of two states in the whole United States that the government does not trust the population. And I have a little bit of problem with that. And, of course, in the last hour, Don has expressed all of the things that she wished were in a concealed carry bill. And yet, 2 years ago, she voted for exactly against the bill she's advocating for today. So I'd like to know where we're going.
Let's go back to the phones. I have two more callers on right now, and I'm going to try to get to both of you, and I've only got a couple of minutes here. So Scott and Weston, I'm going to take you first, and then we're going to go to Craig and Adam. Scott, your comments, and please be succinct. We're running out of time here.
I just have a comment. I'm a hunter. I'm a veteran. I'm a gun owner, and I'm totally opposed to concealed carry. I think it makes our state more unsafe. And as a gun owner, I just want people to know that the NRA does not speak for all gun owners.
All right, Scott, thank you very much. And let's go to our final call. We've got Craig and Adam. Craig, you're on Route 51.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call real quick. I just wanted to make a quick comment. As far as healthcare facilities installing safety measures like metal detectors and stuff, that's a bunch of malarkey. Large facilities aren't going to do that. It is unnecessary. I am for concealed carry. There's no reason people should not be able to protect themselves. And as far as training, my father taught me and my brothers to hunt and to shoot starting when we were 8 years old. I don't need any training. I'm a hunter. I'm well aware of the firearms I use. If someone purchases one, they should make sure that they get the training if they wish. They could even probably find a friend to volunteer to help them.
All right, Craig,
thank you.
Thanks so much for the phone call. Buster, do you feel this is long overdue? And you've got 10 seconds, my friend.
Oh, absolutely. It's long overdue. Let's do it.
And Donna, you've got the last word.
It's likely to happen in Wisconsin. I would hope that we would do it cautiously so we do not cause our communities to be more at risk.
All right. Thank you. Our guests, Effie Buster Bachhuber of the National Rifle Association, Democratic Assemblywoman Donna Seidel of Wausau. Thanks also to Republican Senator Pam Galloway of Wausau, who recorded an interview for this program. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks also to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producers, Jane Ritker and Jake Clotty. Thanks as always to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next Thursday at 5 on Route 51, we talk about the life of the father of the Wisconsin conservation movement, Aldo Leopold, and a new movie about his life and influence, Green Fire, with our guest, Dr. Stanley Temple, a Beers Bascom professor in conservation at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and scientific advisor to the Aldo Leopold Foundation. That's it for us. You can follow our adventures on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Until next week, we're heading out of town.